Welcome back to Coastline here on WHQR. I'm Cleve Callison, sitting in today for Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and our topic is a look at the election of 2016, obviously a very dramatic, possibly even history-making election, and one that a lot of people were involved in and contained plenty of surprises. Our guest for the remainder of this show is Richard Poole, who is chair of the New Hanover County Democrats. And Michael Franklin, who was here for the first part of the show, has had to leave and sends his regrets. But we'll continue on with Richard. And if you have a question for Richard, please give us a call at 910-343-1138. And we'll be glad to talk with you here on this edition of Coastline. I was wondering, Richard, what lessons do you think that Democrats should take away after these results? You had mentioned a couple of things that were reasons for optimism from your standpoint, such as the apparent victory of Roy Cooper in the governor's race and Mike Morgan and on the Supreme Court. But in a lot of ways, particularly at the national level, but in many other local races, there didn't seem to be much of a shift toward the Democrats. So what are the lessons that you think the Democratic Party will take away from this election?
Well, it was a change election, and it's actually, at least since World War II, been very uncommon for a two-term president to be followed by yet another president from their same political party. Mm-hmm. George Bush following Ronald Reagan was an exception, but he was a one-term president. So from a historical point of view, what Hillary Clinton was trying to do was a hard thing to do. But for us as Democrats, I think we need to stick to our knitting. We need to support our candidates. We need to encourage new candidates. We need to expand our coalition. This year, for the first time ever, New Hanover Democrats printed a sample ballot in Spanish. I mean, our Spanish voting population is very small, but we need to reach out to them. And we need to reach out to the Bernie Sanders voters, some of them, many of them not previously involved in politics, and encourage them to remain involved and encourage them to be a part of our coalition.
I know our topic today was local races rather than the national, but since you are in this position of working with the party officially, do you think this is going to move the Democratic Party farther to the left, or will it maybe move tack a little bit more to the center in the next 4 years? Gaze into your crystal ball and tell me what you think will happen.
I think the party moved some to the left in this presidential year. The next 4 years, I mean, are not going to be like this year, and I think Democrats need to tell voters that we're the party that wants to make government work and make it work for everybody.
2 years from now, there are not going to be a presidential, gubernatorial, or a Senate race in North Carolina. And usually, particularly in a presidential year, there's greater turnout, particularly if there are other races on the ballot as there were this time. So is that good or bad for the Democratic Party?
Well, historically, off-year elections have been difficult for Democrats. It's going to be important to remind them how much is at stake. In 2020, we'll be having another census and a redistricting. And it's an opportunity, if Democrats make gains in the legislature, to eliminate some of the gerrymandering that's caused our elections to be so polarized. Mm-hmm.
I want to mention something. This is kind of, I guess you could call this a little bit of a preview of tomorrow's Coastline. We're going to have a program about a fairly related topic, which is media and the role of media. And this one sort of came home to me. I'll mention this because this was a result of a correspondence that I had with a listener, an email correspondence that I had. They're going to look at the topic tomorrow of declining trust in the media. And I've been exchanging emails with a listener on just this topic with specific reference to the presidential race. And he had written this for Friday Feedback, but since our feedback segment is designed really for topics relating to WHQR's operations, and it's not for airing political viewpoints as such. I explained that I thought that the better vehicle for his views would be Coastline or a program like this. So let me read a quote from what this correspondent had to say. If Donald Trump receives the majority of votes, and of course this was written before the election, and Trump did receive the electoral votes, we really don't know yet about the popular vote. At any rate, the writer says, that will mean that most Americans really don't like Hillary Clinton. It will also mark the end of an era where the truth has been filtered through predominantly left-leaning news outlets like NPR. Despite all of your efforts to prop up the Clintons, they are who they are, power-hungry, corrupt politicians who gain their wealth through political means. Well, first of all, I would disagree with the notion that WHQR, or for that matter NPR, has consciously or unconsciously been trying to, quote, prop up, unquote, Hillary Clinton. But that comment does speak to a rather profound distrust in the mainstream media, which is obviously shared by a lot of people, especially ones who voted yesterday. And my correspondent then went on to say, if you don't recognize that your news filter has become clogged, your swamp will eventually be drained by necessity. And he ended with this comment, good luck in the era of new media. And as I hear that, I mean, there's language there, obviously, Richard, that echoes the words of Donald Trump talking about, in reference to WHQR, talking about draining the swamp. Now, admittedly, our roof leaked when the hurricane came through, but, you know, I wouldn't describe us as a swamp. But that language is the sort of ferocity of that language seems to have characterized a number of things that have happened this year. To what do you attribute that?
Well, it's a trend that has been going on for years. At least on the Republican side, attacking the media has been a very popular way to campaign. It's really become part of the accepted wisdom on that side. I think Democrats in general are less suspicious of the media, and they recognize that having fact-based media actually counts. Talk radio often isn't fact-based, and social media.
Well, present company accepted.
Present company accepted. But, you know, you have on the Republican side, conservative talk radio hosts becoming vice presidential candidates. That's where Mike Pence came from. You don't see that so much on the Democratic side.
You're right. I'm trying to think if there is somebody like that. I'm having a tough time calling it up. But is that kind of fragmentation and everybody his own arbiter of the truth, is that likely to get better or worse, do you think?
I don't know. I look at social media, and even among people who are Democrats, I see them seizing on things they find on the internet as fact, which are clearly not facts. They're made up stuff. And it's really made it more difficult to have a coherent discussion. So just today I was engaged in a Facebook discussion where I questioned the veracity of a report produced by an organization that I'd never heard of. And I haven't gotten to the bottom of that yet, but there's a lot of stuff on the web that's just plain false. It's fabrications. It's made up stuff. And I think we should all be alert to that.
I was reading an article about that phenomenon recently, and I guess I naively was sort of thinking, why would people do that, these fake news sites, which could be from the left or the right or just out there somewhere? Why would people do that? And, of course, the answer is really obvious, is that these headlines that are described as clickbait want people to click onto a website, and if you have a website that is advertiser supported and you get a lot of clicks, or if it ultimately goes viral, then you can make a lot of money doing it. And so the rationale for it is strictly commercial, strictly to make money, it seems. And so I don't know if there's any way to address that. You can send people to fact-checking sites of various kinds, but then that just sort of begs the question of whether the fact-checking sources themselves are reliable, and some people if they go to a fact-checking source, they may say, well, obviously this is not correct because these people are biased or rigged, to use the term. Let's go to our next caller here and say hello to William from Wilmington. William, you're welcome to hey. WHQR.
How are you guys doing today?
We're fine.
My comment is, as an unaffiliated voter who supported Bernie Sanders, I think that your caller talking about bringing those voters back into the coalition for Democrats, I think it's a much deeper issue. And how do you think that the Democratic Party is going to be able to overcome the corruption that Hillary Clinton and the DNC used to squash out Bernie Sanders instead of listening to the people? I'll take comments and answers off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Can I ask you a question, though, William?
Yeah.
Yeah, still there? You said you were a Bernie supporter.
I was.
Is that right? Do you mind telling us whether you voted in this election, and if so, did you vote for Hillary or someone else?
I did. I voted for Donald Trump because I couldn't bear to vote for someone who had used corruption to squash out what seemed to be the voice of the people. And, Hillary didn't seem that she could accept the results of what the people's voice was, and I couldn't vote for that.
All right. William, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. And that was William from Wilmington. Richard Poole from the Democratic Party. What do you think about that? Was that did you see evidence of that Bernie supporters might have been disillusioned with the process this time?
Oh, sure. Many of them are my friends, and many of them have become my friends in the course of this presidential campaign. And there's a deep suspicion among them that the primary process was unfair. And at the convention, the DNC agreed to make changes in that process that Sanders supporters asked for. And it is important that we be perceived as having a fair and open process. And we need to keep working on that. With that said, Hillary Clinton received a lot more votes in that primary than Bernie Sanders did, millions more. And it's hard to overlook that.
A lot of the focus of the anger from the Bernie supporters was on the process of superdelegates. But there were also, as you say, other delegates who were elected through a normal primary process. We have a caller on the line, and I'm not certain what the name of this caller is, but if you can hear me, caller, go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, my name is David from Wilmington, North Carolina, and I was just mentioning about the perception that the media is liberally biased, and a lot of the irony is that a lot of the media feels like they're not, but the reality is a lot of Americans, and I would say the majority of Americans, believe that they are, and that's perception. And so I think the media has to come to grips with that and understand that everyone has a bias, and to be able to come to grips with the fact that people really feel that the media not just is biased, but extremely liberally biased. And I think the media just needs to come to grips with that and address that to the American people.
How would you imagine them addressing that? I mean, what would the media do? What should they do? Are you talking about?
I think they could really come to grips with their own bias and try to report things more objectively. Because right now, I mean, you look at MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, and, I have a certain political bent, but I can tell you I'm a very objective person, and I can tell you that they're biased, they may be blind to the of their own biased nature. And so I think they need to kind of come to grips with that, because if not, they're going to be out of business, because that's a lot of this the votes that Donald Trump got was because people feel that the media they're biased, and I think they need to try to really kind of reassess, how they're reporting the news, how they're reporting, political events, and so on and so forth.
Okay, David, thanks very much for your comment. We've got another caller coming up that we want to get on before this program is over, but we appreciate it. And we're going to say hello to Jim from Wilmington. Jim, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thanks, gentlemen. I'm going to change this just slightly. My comment here is that if I look at the national election and I look at how Mr. Trump won, Mr. Trump did this by going out into the rural parts of the country. There, you know, when I see what our own, what the Democratic Party politicians have done, the level of attention they've paid to the rural parts of the country, rural North Carolina, has been very little. The when I watched the campaigns being done, I saw Ms. Clinton, certainly the bigger cities, big rural area, urban areas of the state, but I saw Donald Trump in Hickory. I saw Donald Trump in Smithfield. I saw Donald Trump in places that are, that most politicians don't even or know on the map. And that's what carried it. So when I say this Democratic Party, we were once the party of the people of the state. And that meant we were the party of the farmers, the workers.
Okay, Jim, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt you because we only have about 1 minute to go. But thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
Thank
that's
you. No, no, don't thank apologize. You. But thank you very much for your comment. And I think that's actually going to have to do it for this edition of Coastline. My guests today have been Michael Franklin, chair of the New Hanover County Republican Party. He was our guest in the first two segments of the program. And Richard Poole, chair of the New Hanover County Democratic Party. Thank you, Michael, for being here.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Richard. I'm sorry. Copy and paste. Join us tomorrow for another edition of Coastline, this one for Declining Trust in the Media with your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. And join Rachel next week at this time for another Wednesday edition of Coastline. Coastline's producer is Isabel Shepherd, and our phone screener and Twitter wrangler today was Libby Kane. Ken Campbell was our audio engineer. I'm Cleve Callison. I'm executive producer of Coastline. Thank you for listening to this broadcast on WHQR Wilmington, 91.3 FM, 98.9 in Myrtle Beach, and 94.1 in Lumberton. Join us next time for Coastline.